Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, remembered by Avram Goldar, and today Masechus Baba Basra, Daf Pei Beis, the fifth perek HaMokher HaSesvina. This perek has been generously sponsored by Rabbi Yechezkel and Anat Hartman, Lazer Chendishma Sagon Rav Moshe Shapiro Zatzal, in honor of the publication of the Sefer Nuchusi Yama, his Shiurim, on this perek. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah and Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph taught, where someone bought trees but not land, that whatever grows from the geza, the trunk, belongs to the buyer, and whatever grows from the shirashim, the roots, belongs to the seller. Ryokan defines these terms, kosha roi pnei chome, anything that sees the face of the sun, meaning that begins growing above ground, zehu mina geza, this is categorized as from the trunk. V'she'ena roi pnei chome, and anything that does not see the face of the sun, meaning it begins growing from underground, zehu mina shirashim, this is categorized as from the roots. The Gemara asks that if the buyer keeps shoots growing out from the base of the trunk, we should be concerned that Dilma Maska Arashirton, perhaps soil will build up between them, giving the shoot an appearance of a separate tree. The buyer can then claim, you sold me three trees, and I have right to land. Rav Nachman says, Yakotz, the buyer must cut down any shoots which grow from the trunk. The Mishnah only means that the wood belongs to the buyer. Point number two, the Mishnah taught that one who buys three trees acquires land. Rav Yochanan explained how much land is acquired. Tachten hu v'nehem, under the trees and between them, v'chutzalen k'mula or v'salo, and land outside the trees large enough for one picking fruit and his basket beside him. Abelazar asked, Hashna derech engon, now if he does not even have a path through the seller's field but must purchase a right-of-way to access his trees, or v'salo yeshul, can he have a space for a picker and his basket which is less necessary? The buyer has not acquired a path through the seller's field, da'ar akarisi, because the land where the trees are growing is another person's land. He certainly should not have a right to k'mula or v'salo in the seller's field for the same reason. Rabbi Zera infers from Boaz's words that where someone buys two trees and does not acquire land, he would have a right to a path because he can tell the seller, ba'ar didakhaime, my purchased trees are standing in your land, and it was understood that I should have access to them. Rav explains that Rabbi Elazar's entire question was based on the premise that our Mishnah holds mocher b'ayin ra mocher, but this is ultimately deflected. And point number three, Abai asks Rav Yosef, Osin or v'sal mi zoran, who may plant the area around the purchased trees for the picker to stand with his basket? Does the buyer acquire this land fully and may plant there, or is it essentially the seller's land and the buyer merely has the right to use it for harvesting his trees? Rav Yosef quoted a Mishnah where the owner of an inner garden has a right to a derech through an outer garden, which states, Achitzon zoreis a derech, the owner of the outer garden may plant the path. Here too, the seller may plant the area of Or HaVesola despite the buyer's right to use it. Abai objected to the comparison because whereas the inner owner's access is not impeded by the planting of the derech, in our case, there is a loss to the buyer if the seller plants in the Or HaVesola area because the buyer can say, my fruits are soiled by your seeds when they fall on them. Abai quoted the Sefer of that Mishnah that if both parties agree to a specific path on the side, neither party may plant in it. Here too, neither may plant in the Or HaVesola. A brisa supports Abai's position. So once again, the three points are, number one, the Mishnah Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph taught, where someone bought trees but not land, that whatever grows from the geza, the trunk, belongs to the buyer, and whatever grows from the shirashim, the roots, belongs to the seller. Ryokan defines these terms, kosha roi pnei chome, anything that sees the face of the sun, meaning that begins growing above ground, zehu mina geza, this is categorized as from the trunk. V'she'ena roi pnei chome, and anything that does not see the face of the sun, meaning it begins growing from underground, zehu mina shirashim, this is categorized as from the roots. The Gemara asks that if the buyer keeps shoots growing out from the base of the trunk, we should be concerned that Dilma Maska Arashirton, perhaps soil will build up between them, giving the shoot an appearance of a separate tree. The buyer can then claim, you sold me three trees, and I have right to land. Rav Nachman says, Yakotz, the buyer must cut down any shoots which grow from the trunk. The Mishnah only means that the wood belongs to the buyer. Point number two, the Mishnah taught that one who buys three trees acquires land. Rav Yochanan explained how much land is acquired. Tachten hu v'nehem, under the trees and between them, v'chutzalen k'mula or v'salo, and land outside the trees large enough for one picking fruit and his basket beside him. Abelazar asked, Hashna derech engon, now if he does not even have a path through the seller's field but must purchase a right-of-way to access his trees, or v'salo yeshul, can he have a space for a picker and his basket which is less necessary? The buyer has not acquired a path through the seller's field, da'ar akarisi, because the land where the trees are growing is another person's land. He certainly should should not have a right to Gemula or of a Solo in the seller's field for the same reason. Rabbi Zera infers from Boaz's words that where someone buys two trees and does not acquire land, he would have a right to a path because he can tell the seller, Ba'ar didakhaime, my purchased trees are standing in your land, and it was understood that I should have access to them. Rav explains that Rabbi Lezer's entire question was based on the premise that our Mishnah holds mocher bain ra mocher, but this is ultimately deflected. And point number three, Abai asks Rav Yosef, Osen or Avisal mi Zoran, who may plant the area around the purchased trees for the picker to stand with his basket? Does the buyer acquire this land fully and may plant there, or is it essentially the seller's land and the buyer merely has the right to use it for harvesting his trees? Rav Yosef quoted a Mishnah where the owner of an inner garden has a right to a derech through an outer garden, which states, Achitzon Zoreis a derech, the owner of the outer garden may plant the path. Here too, the seller may plant the area or of a soul despite the buyer's right to use it. Abai objected to the comparison because whereas the inner owner's access is not impeded by the planting of the derech, in our case, there is a loss to the buyer if the seller plants in the Or Avisola area, because the buyer can say, my fruits are soiled by your seeds when they fall on them. Abai quoted the Sefer of that Mishnah that if both parties agreed to a specific path on the side, neither party may plant in it. Here too, neither may plant in the Or Avisola. Abraisa supports Abai's position. All right, so now we get our Siman Pei Beis, and our standard Siman is peanut butter. Peanut butter, so here goes. The peanut farmer who put jars of Pnei Chama peanut butter on the shoots growing out of the trunk of a tree he bought to indicate the shoots are his, and was busy picking fruit with his basket on the land that came with three trees he bought, was disappointed when he was told that neither he nor the seller may plant peanuts on that area of land. So once again, in slow motion, the peanut farmer who put jars of Pnei Chama peanut butter, that must be on Daf Pei Beis. The peanut farmer who put jars of Pnei Chama peanut butter on the shoots growing out of the trunk of a tree he bought to indicate the shoots are his, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Pei Alef Amud Alef taught that where someone bought trees but not land, that whatever grows from the geza, the trunk, belongs to the buyer, and whatever grows from the sharashim, the roots, belongs to the seller. Rav Yochanan defines these terms, kol sharo pnei chama, anything that sees the face of the sun, meaning that begins growing above ground, zehu mina geza. This is categorized as from the trunk. V'she'ena ro pnei chama, anything that does not see the face of the sun, meaning it begins growing from underground, zehu mina sharashim. This is categorized as from the roots. So the peanut farmer put jars of pnei chama peanut butter on the shoots growing out of the trunk of a tree he bought to indicate the shoots are his, and was busy picking fruit with his basket on the land that came with three trees he bought, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that one who buys three trees acquires land. Rabbi Yochanan explained how much land is acquired, tachtehen uvenehen, under the trees and between them, v'chutzelhen kamula or v'solo, and the land outside the trees large enough for one picking fruit and his basket beside him. So the peanut farmer who put jars of Pnei Chama peanut butter on the shoots growing out of the trunk of a tree he bought to indicate the shoots are his, and was busy picking fruit with his basket on the land that came with three trees he bought, was disappointed when he was told that neither he nor the seller may plant peanuts on that area of land, which reminds us, Abaya asked Rav Yosef, Osen or Avisalo Mizoran, who may plant the area around the purchased trees for the picker to stand with his basket? Does the buyer acquire this land fully and may plant there, or is it essentially the seller's land and the buyer merely has the right to use it for harvesting his trees? The Gemara concludes that neither can plant in this area. So once again, the peanut farmer who put jars of Pnei Chama peanut butter on the shoots growing out of the trunk of a tree he bought to indicate the shoots are his, and was busy picking fruit with his basket on the land that came with three trees he bought, was disappointed when he was told that neither he nor the seller may plant peanuts on that area of land. All right, so now it's time for our four blabach chazara. Daf ein ches. So the simmer daf ein ches is a child going, ugh. So here goes. When the boy whose father bought him a nursing donkey rudely said, ugh, ugh, that must be on daf ein ches. When the boy whose father bought him a nursing donkey rudely said, ugh, because the sack was not included in the sale, which reminds us, the next mission states, HaMocher es HaChamor lo macher chelav. One who sells a donkey did not automatically sell its gear. Nachum Amani said he did sell its gear, and Yudah says that sometimes it's sold and sometimes not. If a donkey was before him with its gear on it, and the buyer said, Mochor li chamor chazet, sell me this donkey of yours, the gear is sold. This donkey means as it is. If he said, chamor chahi, if it's your donkey, sell it to me, the gear is not sold with it. So when the boy whose father bought him a nursing donkey rudely said, ugh, because the sack was not included in the sale, and was not appeased by the fact that the donkey's baby was included, which reminds us, Gemara explains the difference between selling a nursing cow versus a nursing donkey. Regarding a cow, it's possible that the person needs it for its milk, so specifying a nursing cow does not necessarily indicate a request for the calf. But regarding a donkey whose milk is forbidden to consume, why would he specify a nursing donkey? This proves he meant to purchase its offspring as well. So when the boy whose father bought him a nursing donkey brutally said, ugh, because the sack was not included in the sale, and was not appeased by the fact that the donkey's baby was included, his father told him he should make a cheshbon and nefesh weighing schar avera k'neged hefseda, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan darshaned a series of psukim beginning with Al ken yomru hamoshim. Regarding this, the poets would say, Eilu hamoshim b'yitzram. These are those who rule over their desires. Bo cheshbon, come to cheshbon, means bo v'nachshuv cheshbon sha'olam, come, let us make an accounting of this world. Hefsed mitzvah k'neged schar, weighing a mitzvah's loss, meaning its cost, against its gain, meaning its reward, and schar avera k'neged hefseda, and a sin's gain against its loss. Daf Ein Tes. So the Siman Daf Ein Tes writes to an 8, a pen, and we use a sofer. So here goes. The artistic sofer, sofer, that must mean we're on Daf Ein Tes. 8, pen, sofer. The artistic sofer who painted a person separating from Divrei Torah, being consumed by a fire, with a Maimer Chazal underneath, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda quoted Rav, call it Porsh Medivrei Torah, whoever separates from the words of Torah, Eish Ochalto, fire consumes him. As the Pasuk says, V'nasati es panai behem, Mehaish Yatzau, Mehaish Tochlem, and I'll set my face against them from the fire they have departed, and the fire will consume them. So the artistic sofer who painted a person separating from Divrei Torah, being consumed by a fire, with a Maimer Chazal underneath, and posted a Molin Behen sign under some growths of a hekdesh tree, which reminds us, Rav Yossi says, a makdish is a sadeh v'se'ilon. If one is makdish, a field or tree, Molin Behen u'begiduehen, one violates me'il for them and their subsequent growths, mifnei she'en gedulei hekdesh, because the growths of hekdesh, which Rav Yossi holds, is subject to me'ilah. So, the artistic sofer who painted a person separating from Divrei Torah, being consumed by a fire with a Maimer Chazal underneath, and posted a Molin Behen sign under some growths of a hekdesh tree, was not over Me'ilah when he pulled a feather from a dove that flew into the hekdesh dovecote to make a quill, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a machlokas regarding contents of a pit or a dovecote, which were there before or after one was makdish the pit or dovecote. Daf Pei, so the Siman Daf Pei is a painter. So here goes. The painter, that must learn Daf Pay. The painter who was hired to paint a dovecote whose produce was just sold and had to work around the first pair of newborns left for the owner, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Halkech peros shovach mechaver, one who buys the produce of a dovecote from his friend, mafriach brecha rishon, must allow the first pair of doves born to fly to remain with the mother. Now this seems contradictory from a Brisa teaching that the first and second pairs are left, and Rav Kahana explains that the second pair is left for the daughter, meaning the first pair of offspring. The first pair is left for the mother and is sufficient for it because it becomes attached to its daughter and its mate, which we leave for it. The mother's companionship isn't sufficient for the daughter because a mother is attached to its daughter, but a daughter does not become attached to its mother. Therefore, the daughter's own offspring, the second pair, must be left for the daughter's companionship. So the painter who was hired to paint a dovecote whose produce was just sold and had to work around the first pair of newborns left for the owner took a break by snacking from some honey still in a beehive, which has the status of food regarding tumah, which reminds us, Rav Kahana said, Dvash bekaver is eno yotzmi de machal olam. Honey in a beehive never loses its food status, although it's eaten by bees and remains human food and is therefore susceptible to tumah. This proves that he holds lo boi machshava. Honey in a beehive does not require thought to designate it as food. So the painter was hired to paint a dovecote whose produce was just sold and had to work around the first pair of newborns left for the owner, took a break by snacking from some honey still in a beehive, which is the status of food regarding tumah, and shared some with a tzaddik who has a great reward and a son who is like him, just like a tamar and an heiress, which reminds Rav Chiya bar Luliani darshan on the pasuk tzaddik ha-tamar yifrach ke'erez b'vanon yiskeh, the righteous man who flourishes like a day palm, he will grow like an heiress in Lebanon. A tzaddik is compared to both, because if he's only compared to an heiress, one could think, just as an heiress does not produce fruit, so too a tzaddik does not produce fruit, meaning schar, reward. Therefore, he's compared to a palm, which produces fruit. Had he only been compared to a palm, one could think, just as a tamar does not regenerate, so too a tzaddik does not regenerate, meaning leave a son behind who is like him. Therefore, he's compared to an eres, which does regenerate. Daf pay off. So the similar daf pay off is a grandpa. So here goes. The grandpa, that must be on daf pay off. The grandpa who bought two trees in a field and was on his way to bring Bikurim, knowing he wouldn't recite the psukim, which reminds us, the Gemara brings malchokas of one who buys two trees, acquires land, and if he is made vivakore by Bikurim. So the grandpa who bought two trees in a field and was on his way to bring Bikurim, knowing he wouldn't recite the Psukim, told his grandson that he was bringing Bikurim based on the suffix that he might own the land. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings the explanation that the reason for being Mevi Be'enakor is based on a suffix. Because of the uncertainty, the buyer cannot demand any land from the seller. Still, he must bring Bikurim because he might own the land. So the grandpa who bought two trees in a field and was on his way to bring Bikurim, knowing he wouldn't recite the Psukim, told his grandson that he was bringing Bikurim based on the suffix that he might own the land, as he was about to hand them over to Shaliach, who is exempt from Kriya. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings challenges to bring Bikurim based on a suffix. Although Kriya Lama'akevah's reciting is not critical to bringing Bikurim, the application here is questioned from Rabbi Zera's principle that a mincha, which is in Rui Labila, not fit for mixing, Bila Ma'akevah's boat, the mixing is critical to it and invalidates the mincha. Here too, since Kriya may be required and cannot be done out of doubt, the Bikurim should be invalid. The Gemara answers that he sends the fruits with the Shaliach, which is exempt from Kriya. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do Malkokas, if one who buys two trees acquires land, and if he brings Bikurim and recites the Psukim, that's on daf? Payoff. Good. Number two, which daf do you want to buy three trees as a right to land, Kamala or a Vesalo, for the picker and his basket, that's on daf? Pay base. Good. Number three, which daf do Malkokas about Me'ila and Gedule Hektish, that's on daf? Ayin Tes. Good. Number four, which daf do you want a shliach who brings Bikurim is exempt from the Kriya? That's on daf? Payoff. Good. Number five, which daf do you discuss the difference when selling a nursing cow versus a nursing donkey, whether the offspring is included? That's on daf? Ayin Ches. Good. Number six, which daf do you want why a tzaddik is compared to both a tamar and an erez? That's on daf? Pay. Good. Number seven, which stuff do we learn? Rav Ashi came up with the svara that mili b'mili lo miknin, words cannot be acquired with mere words. That's on daf? Ayin zayin. Good. Number eight, which stuff do we learn? Whatever grows from the trunk of a tree belongs to the buyer of the tree. That's on daf? Pay base. Good. Number nine, which stuff do we learn? Honey in the beehive has status of food regarding tuma. That's on daf? Pay. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do you learn that neither the buyer nor the seller can plant in the area of the Or of a seller? That's on daf? Pay base. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is everybody from Rav Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.